You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, along with Sal Montes, George Guajardo, Alberto Retta, and we got Chris from Inspo Lens. We are live here on Inspo Lens as well. You can listen to us 600 ESPN El Paso, 600 ESPN El Paso on a free app, or check us out on Inspo Lens. We are live right now on Twitter and X. Big shout out to Inspo Lens. They are back with us here on the program, and we are live right now here on the program talking UTEP basketball. Wow, I didn't see this coming. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 73-66 on a 9-0 run over the last 2 minutes of this game. A lot of things I didn't like about the late game situations from this one. And, you know, I can easily say, Sal, none of this matters till March. But at some point, this is going to have to matter, right? Like, you know, at the start of February, you want to start playing good basketball to translate into March. Because if you don't have good basketball to be played in February, you're not going to have anything in March to get excited about. Number two, you don't want to get in the same situation as they were last year, if you're the Miners, and play like, what was it, like four games or three games in 4 days? Like, that stretch is tough. You need that bye. You need to have a higher seed or, you know, a better seed going into the CUSA tournament to help you out with matchup and stuff like that. And this is another team. You know, we talked about New Mexico State being a team that UTEP does not want to face in the CUSA tournament when it actually matters, when everybody's kind of fixated on this team to close out the year. They don't want to play Jacksonville State either, who today just dominated the rebound margin 42-25. Second chance points, they got it when they needed to. In this game, you know, it was no quarter Camper for the majority of the second half. I felt terrible for him because he's been playing well over the last month or so, but he had an ankle injury, came out with a boot on his left leg or his left ankle or whatever, but fell down hard, walked gingerly, didn't put any weight on that ankle when he was leaving the floor at the Haskins Center. So felt for him. You know, even Ahmad Bynum late in that game, you know, he steps wrong on a Jacksonville State player's ankle and he gets turned a wrong way. He makes two free throws, but doesn't check in till less than a minute left in the game when it was over. I mean, the game was out of reach. And, you know, you could look at the possession where Jaron Pierre hit he was going for a three, misses it, and I think it was, you know, it was Hogue gets the second chance bucket. He ends up getting the rebound and then puts it back up for Jacksonville State. That was one of the ones that I was like, ooh, that's not a good possession right there. That lifted up Jacksonville State. I believe it was 69-66. And then UTEP just could not get a bucket to go on their side. And Joe Golding was right, head coach for the Miners. They had good looks down the stretch, just could not execute. You know, you could on one side, Sal, say, oh, well, the Miners were shorthanded. You could easily say it was the fact they didn't have Camper down the stretch to guard, Pierre, who is the leading scorer across Conference USA, had 14 tonight on a tough night for him. But at the same time, you got to close out these games. Yeah. These are home games, and I blame them for not starting off better in this one to set the tone, kind of like what Golding was saying post-game.
Yeah, and we know about the rebounding part. They're likely going to get out-rebounded every single night, but they make up for that with their defense and converting stops into points. They didn't do that much today, if at all, really. This Jacksonville State team is one who takes good care of the ball, and they forced something like 9 turnovers or something early on, where they average somewhere around 7. I don't know if in the first half or a full game. Either way, they forced more than more turnovers than Jacksonville State averages at a certain point, and they had a mere couple of points off of it. You have to be able to convert on the other end to stick to your game plan, because Jacksonville State is a team, much like other teams in Conference USA, where it's going to be a dogfight every single night, and whoever can get, you know, more clutch buckets, so to speak, is likely going to win the game. And that was State tonight. I saw them do it against Western Kentucky on Western Kentucky's home floor not too long ago. So that's what it's going to be like in Conference USA. And if you want to go back, to the conference tournament with some juice, so to speak, you got to be able to close these games out, because this ain't the first time we're going to see a game go like this. We'll see if UTEP can get this next one, but we're still early in conference play.
Yeah, it still is. I mean, if you think about it, Sal, like you when you turn the page on January, you want to be playing relevant basketball. But what does relevant basketball mean at the start of February? So I'm curious to see where the Miners are at. Kennesaw State just dominated New Mexico State tonight, by the way. The Owls will come to town on Saturday, and they beat the Aggies 69-56 in a dominant victory over there. So you talk about quality wins for Jacksonville State, which you're right, at Western Kentucky, 73-67. They had a home series sweep against La Tech and Sam Houston, 63-61 against La Tech, and then 70-62 against Sam Houston State. And now they go on the road to beat the Miners. This team has now won four of their last five. They're trending upward right now. This Jacksonville State team, they're playing some pretty good basketball, but Kennesaw State is too. I mean, they've won three in a row. They had a tough loss against Western Kentucky right before that, so they want to be, you know, they want to come out with their first conference road win of the season, or second, I should say, after dominating New Mexico State here tonight.
And you know what, too, Adrian, those teams you just reeled off, all now tied for second place in Conference USA at 4-2. I mean, overall, I guess you could probably break it differently, but you know, two pairs of 4-2 teams, and they go up against the counterparts on Saturday. Jacksonville State is going to be visiting the Aggies, who are also 4-2, and of course Kennesaw coming into the Haskins, both clubs 4-2. So a lot of meaningful basketball well before the first half of conference play even, you know, meets that point.
Yeah, totally with you on that. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We'll get to Chris here, who's going to join us first on the phone lines here in just a moment. Also want to give a shout out, we got Alberto and George in the house. We'll get their thoughts here in just a bit. This is coming in from Steve, Paydirt Steve, rebounding and fundamental on Twitter and X, saying that, you know, he was disappointed in those categories. This is coming in from some guy, Chris. Man, I don't get it. I thought Elijah had a really good first half. He played 6 minutes, had 4 points, one rebound, and one assist. Was super active. In the second half, not a single minute. I didn't believe this one. I had to do a double take and actually look at the Elijah Jones numbers and think, wait a second, there's no chance. He played great in the first half. How could he not get a single minute in the second half? But he was right. I mean, Chris is right totally on that. Kalu ends up playing 25 minutes, 3 points, 1 of 4 from the field, 8 rebounds. I guess they needed him on the glass, but a productive 6 minutes off the bench for Elijah Jones. Just did not get any minutes in the second half for whatever reason. So let's go to the phones right now and we'll get it started. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number. Chris is going to start us off here on the phone lines. Chris, good evening, man. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? Good evening.
What's happening, Chris? What'd you think tonight?
Loyal, supportive Miner fans. I called several times already. We tailgate for the UTEP games, for the football games, and obviously not for the basketball games, but my son stays up. He's an eighth grader now, and he stays up till 9. So we get home till 10 to catch these Miners, but it's very frustrating. It just, I don't know, this Golden, I still believe in them, but something has to change, obviously, with the rebounds and stuff, which I understand they might be undersized, but to come back to back home games and come out flat in the first half of the game within 4 or 6 minutes, and then all of a sudden, same thing he did with the Mexico State. He starts changing the starters to some sub players. The sub players pick it up a little bit, but just frustrating. I thought we had turned the leaf with the back to back games on the road, and they look promising. So like, hey, let's go out again tonight, and just to see that flat performance from UTEP. It's just very frustrating. Very frustrating.
No doubt, Chris. I mean, where are you? I mean, where do they go from here, in your opinion?
I honestly have no idea. That's what I was telling my son. My son's an eighth grader. He plays sports in his middle school, and he's clueless too. It's just, what do we do? Like, do we start with the bench? But obviously, they're starters for a reason. But there has to be a spark with these boys. I thought it was maybe the pressure of 12,000 or 11,800, 900 last Saturday against the Mexico State. And today there's 4,000. I'm like, all right, we should be good. Miners are favored by 6. We should be all right. we're healthy. And I understand tonight, Camper, he's sprained his ankle, but and it's just, I don't know, it's mind-boggling. I'm lost for words. It's just very frustrating for UTEP, for the community, because UTEP's always been a basketball school. Yeah, we football will get our good team once every 20 years with Mike Price every those 2 years in a row. But basketball, we had that with Rapid Dukes. After that, we had Gillespie, we had Sadler, we had Barbie. We're good. We're decent. And then those guys take off. All right, we take a hit. We get Floyd. We have one, two good seasons with Floyd. But after that, just, I don't know. It just, I'm a minor believer. All my friends, my coworkers, my family, they're like, why do you keep going to those games? It's the only show in town besides the Chihuahuas. But honestly, if you think El Paso, it's UTEP.
So. Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. And I hear and I appreciate the phone call, Chris. Thanks for weighing in. I know your voice and you're a true UTEP fan. You've been supporting this squad. I hear it with the family side of things because you've got an eighth grader. They care about this squad and they care about UTEP. But you know what? I mean, I would even look back on those Floyd years. Like you talk about, hey, two successful first years. Well, what is success in your eyes? Like, is success going to the Conference USA title game and winning the conference, or is it winning the regular season championship? Because at this point right now in the season, UTEP's coming off a season in which they played for a Conference USA championship. And then, you know, this year, they're at least flirting with the top of being in the conference. So I don't know what you would equate success to. I think success has to be getting to the highest of the high, and that is that NCAA tournament. And there are little successful, or there are other milestones of successes that you can mark. But, you know, as far as, you know, reaching the highest marks, it's tough. I get what you're saying, man. I get exactly what you're talking about when it comes to those mid-2000s teams and how good they were. And even before then, of course, the 80s and how special they were, the 60s, and how successful they were there as well. Hey, let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. That was a good phone call. Let's get some thoughts here from Alberto and George. They were, you know, tuning into this one as well, and they got a chance to hear from some of the early comments on this so far. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 73-66. We'll start with you, Alberto. Takeaways after this one.
Well, the shortcomings for the Miners are apparent, right? You go over to the stat sheet and things just jump out at you. Second chance points for the Miners, only 5. Bench points for the Miners, only 19. These are things you'd love to see improved. Fast break points in the second half, none. And then, you want to touch on the Elijah Jones situation in the second half. He gives you a great performance in the first half. And then in the second half, you give Baylor Hebb 11 minutes. He gives you 3 points. So the numbers just speak for themselves. So I guess my biggest takeaway from this game are the final 3 minutes of the game, right?
Yeah.
3 minutes and 30 seconds left. The Miners up 64-62. Then you let Jack State go on a 11-2 run, take that game right away from you. And, they run away with this one, and you let them do that to you. And so that's what I'm taking away. The Miners need a lot of improvement.
I'm going to jump in right there because the first takeaway I had from that those comments, Alberto, was – I mean, the Hebb minutes at the end were just killer. Like they were what they were, right? Because they needed Hebb in the game, I guess, since Camper went out. Although I would question, is Hebb a better option than Horton the third? And I guess the answer is yes. The coaching staff says yes because for whatever reason, defensively, Horton the third is not as caught up defensively as I guess Baylor Hebb is to this point. But I mean, those final two plays were just a reflection of the limitations there off the bench. And I, you know, let me be fair, right? Because UTEP's backcourt depth has been strong all season long. And it was two possessions, basically. You're not having Corey Camper the second half. And it was two possessions where they were trying to manage without Bynum, who checked out of the game. I know they were trying to get him back in the game. It was following a missed shot from Jack State. They were still, like, the game was still in the balance. And the Miners went fast. It was they passed it out to the corner, and it was a wide open Devin Barnes, who missed a three-pointer. That was the best look they got at trying to come back, at trying to maybe tie the game late in the stretch. There was still a little bit of time at that point, just over a minute. But as Ahmad Bynum checked in, there was less than a minute in the game. Hey, this was a text that came in from Hunter, our good pal. He asked, what's the plus-minus for Elijah Jones? Well, it was a great question, and it also talks a little bit and it speaks to what Chris was talking about earlier. Elijah Jones had the best plus minus on the team from tonight. Plus five. He had 4 points, a rebound, an assist, and 6 minutes. That's all he played, Sal. And Elijah Jones, best plus minus tonight.
Yeah, in a small sample size too. I mean, who knows if it balloons up or if it shrinks from that point. But I mean, he's definitely effective out there, and if his size is going to be what makes him an asset, especially when it comes to defense. Why not use that when the other team's starting to catch fire or make it a little bit more uncomfortable? But I mean, it's easy to pick and point. Like, they should have rebounded here, they should have rebounded there. Even the way that things went down, there was still a chance to win the game in the final couple of minutes, and they failed to do that. And I'm looking at guys like David Terrell Jr., looking at Barnes, these guys who were able to see the game all the way through. You want those guys to be able to lift you up. Otis Frazier's another one. It's probably the biggest name, if we're being honest, relying on you guys to go out there and win the game, because this is not going to be the first time you guys come across a team like Jacksonville State. You got to get them again, and you're going to be on the road too. That's going to be a lot tougher. But we just had an episode a couple weeks ago about alpha males, and they have three or four guys who can go out and close the game out. We didn't see that today. That's what you want to get from them. So, I mean, just brush it off and get ready, because there's a lot more dogfights coming.
And that's why I think they needed Bynum down that stretch. And I get it. He went out because he was shaken up visibly. It was that ankle, ended up happening. But they needed him down the stretch. He was really giving them that offense that UTEP relied on in this game, and just simply, could not close this one out. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. George, your thoughts on this one. Let's get some takeaways from you, George, after Miners end up losing a second consecutive home game, 73-66. By the way, they did it last year too. They lost consecutive home games. So I was trying to see, when's the last time they did it? Well, they did it last year too.
Yeah, no, I'm going to elaborate on those big runs. It ends up being in the first and final last about 2.5 minutes. They got outscored 17-2. I mean, terrible. Those two Devin Barnes threes that he missed back-to-back, one was wide open, another one was an air ball. The game was still 69-66. He had two chances to knot it up there, and he typically makes the toughest shots on this team, so I don't know. I wonder if it's focus and maybe some energy. The Elijah Jones thing is bizarre. I don't know if Coach Golding just forgot about him on the bench. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Baylor Head was towards the bottom of this depth chart, right? I mean, we had even KJ Thomas playing more minutes than him. It's kind of flipped. I don't know what's gone on with that. KJ Thomas isn't getting a lot of those minutes anymore.
That's a good point.
Arguably, he's a freshman, right? Maybe it's a little
bit
overwhelming.
And he's also a point guard. Like, Baylor Head can play more of a shooting guard role.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but the Trey Horton thing, he I guess they just don't see he's caught up, but they both made a three today. I think Horton looks a little bit more locked in offensively, and I think a little bit more active, at least on the boards. But I don't know. You're right. Absolutely. Bynum was needed in that stretch where Hebb was, and he couldn't be there. He was banged up. But 17-2 in those first 3 minutes and last 3 minutes, it's not going to win you games.
No, not at all. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Let's go to Brian, then we'll go to Trolley Dodger, who's back with us after a Hall of Fame phone call. Brian, good evening. What's going on, man?
Hey, y'all. When I saw that Corey Camber injury and the ensuing play afterwards from the Miners, I knew we were done. I'd really love for someone to explain to me how Baylor Hebb is on scholarship for this team, even though he rides the bench and can guard effectively. I know dudes in the fans group chat who could probably play better, not to mention the atrocious mistakes from the team in the second half. And it's just another home dud. I'm starting to get suspect of these Miners, especially with the decision to have Baylor Hebb play more than Elijah Jones, especially going forward with the unknown timeline for a Corey Camber. For us fans, it's frustrating, especially since it's the opposite of what happened last season, where we would win at home a lot and had duds on the road, but now it's the opposite. You kind of win at the Don, and I'm worried we may only see 3,000 or 4,000 there. But hey, at least the Aggies lost, am I right?
appreciate the phone call, Brian. Thanks for weighing in. I'd say this, like, I think it's hard to compare the minutes between Baylor Hebb and Elijah Jones. There's no excuse, in my opinion, based on how well he played in the first half, on Elijah not necessarily playing in the second. Like, right, like, you can make a claim that because he played so well in the first, you got to throw him in at least for a couple, you know, minutes in the second half to just get that spark. They needed a spark also in the second half, too. The minutes that Hebb played in the second half, you could tell that the coaching staff, they needed him defensively, I guess, or they trusted him the most defensively over everybody else. So to your point on offense, or like kind of like what George was saying earlier, yeah, I know Trey Horton hit the three. I know he looked a little bit better offensively, but I think, and no, I don't just think. I know this team prides themselves on defense, and they're going to make that the priority. If you're not going to go out and defend, you're really not going to play on this team. So they've made that kind of a mainstay, you know, staple of their team since day one. But let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Minor Talk is live. We'll get to our hot hand of the game brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso later on in the program. Appreciate everybody stopping by today at the District West, 3233 North Mesa. We'll be there on Saturday as well to also give away some more tickets for UTEP. We'll have some Rhinos hockey tickets as well. So appreciate the District 3233 North Mesa for hosting us tonight. Going over to Trolley Dodger. He's next up with us on the program. Trolley, you're back with us, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Adrian, Sal, George? What am I missing?
Alberto and Chris.
Alberto, my bad. I was at the game, dude, and dude, I know I could say that we can't rebound, but that's been our thing, you know? We always get out-rebounded. I kind of wanted to say let them shoot, you know? Like, let them shoot, because I don't know what their shooting percentage was, but they couldn't shoot, but they could get to the basket, and we couldn't get to the basket. And I was like, you know, maybe we should shoot, and maybe they we should go for, instead of going into the rim, because it didn't seem like we had any success going to the rim. But they did. And it just seems like they settled for more shots, they being Jacksonville State. Man, let them shoot. Let them shoot, because they weren't hitting. And we can't rebound, and long shots make long rebounds, which benefits us as a shorter team. That was it, man. That's really my big takeaway, because I don't know their shooting percentage. I would like, if you guys know that or whatever, you could share that. But it just seemed like we were the better shooters, and they weren't. But getting to the rim, maybe their layup percentage-wise, they were eating us up. They were eating us up. Today's not going to be viral. It's just, it is what it is. They didn't, you know, it's the USA. Anybody can beat anybody, as we're starting to see. And of course, right after the game, I got on to what happened in the USA. NMSU lost, and they lost bad. I don't know how they lost, but they lost bad. So, you know, we're still in the mix. We're still going to be there for Kennesaw. And, that's all I got. I bought my gear back, if anybody wants to know anything. I bought it back. I'm $20 in the plus, though. It was only $80 worth today.
Okay, good stuff, Trolley Dodger. Appreciate it, man. We're laughing so hard at your phone call anyways, even though that was a subdued Trolley Dodger today compared to what he was how he was the other day. I'll say this. Jacksonville, he said, oh, they weren't making any of the shots, just go out and rebound. Jacksonville State shot 60% in the second half.
Nice, yeah.
I mean, dude, they were 3-for-8 from beyond the arc. I get it. Maybe don't guard the 3-point, you know, line, but from the field, they were killing it. 14-for-23 in the second half alone. In the second half, they only had 5 turnovers compared to what UTEP did in the first half. They forced 12 turnovers defensively. So disappointed that UTEP, you know, wasn't able to limit that shooting percentage to go a little bit lower. To Trolley Dodger's point, I mean, those long rebounds were there. It, you know, Miners just got dominated off the glass. 42 22-25. That was the finish. Let's go back to the phones. 915-505-6009. Our pal Kurt is back with us. Kurt, what's going on? Good evening.
Hey, guys.
What's happening, man?
First of all, she's a ticket holder after the game tonight, and I'm going to say this real quick and briefly, because you know what? We all talk about rebounding. It's all about rebounding. These guys, on our guys go on and shoot, and when they head back, instead of crashing the boards, you know, rebounding is about heart and hustle and getting after it, and these guys just do not have it. And I watch all these games I go to. It's the same thing all the time. They shoot and they head back instead of all guys crash the boards. You know, it's a desire and getting after it. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know what's going on, but it's not happening. And our bigs are soft. Kalu and Hamilton are soft. And until we get big guys down the low, this team's not going to go far with soft big guys like that. And you know, across the boards, that's basketball.
I mean, I liked what you had to say there, Kurt, about effort basically being the rebound side of things. And I'd say, like, okay, you expect UTEP to lose a rebound margin in these games, right? But to lose 42-25 on your home floor, that's where it's a tough pill to swallow.
It's unacceptable. You know, when you're at home, you have to dominate at home. And we don't dominate. We come out soft. He benched the starting five. They have no energy. So it's a combination of coaching and the players and you know, it's horrible to see. And the fan base here, you know, it's very frustrating to go win the road and come back and lose your home game like this, and because you have no effort. And basketball is about effort, getting after it. And obviously, we're not a good rebounding team until we get the guys that can do that, that want to do it. This team is not going to go anywhere. So I'll leave it at that, guys. You have a good night.
All right. Appreciate it, Kurt. Thanks for weighing in, man. I appreciate you as always. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number here on the program. Let's keep it moving. Jay is next up with us, and then we're going to get to George. We got one phone line available. If you've been trying to weigh in, now's the time to do it. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. What's going on, Jay? How are you?
Kalu and Hamilton are soft. I was thinking that as I was watching the game, but I wasn't going to say. Anyway, I think UTEP can't get a rebound for the hell of it. Why doesn't the coach put in Hamilton and Kalu in at the same time?
They will never do that. They'll never go twin towers. They'll never go big man where they'll just like have a lot of size in their front court. I just think that the game has kind of changed for that. Like if you have the three guards and those two bigs down low, you're going to be too slow. The versatile bigs now, they can run. And I'm not saying anything against Hamilton. I've seen lineups with Kalu and Jones together. But to your point, I haven't really seen anything of Hamilton and Kalu on the floor at the same time.
I mean, NMSU does it. Everyone else seems to. I think if they try it, it's going to work.
Fair. Okay, fair. Keep going.
That's it. Have a good night, guys.
Oh, that was it. Good stuff, Jay. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. It's an interesting point about the front court. I think there are going to be people who are going to watch UTEP night in, night out. And if UTEP loses, they're going to go ahead and blame the front court. And the bottom line is they've never relied on the front court to be the scoring, you know, I guess like the scoring stronghold for this team. I like the spark that the front court had with Elijah Jones in that second unit. But they didn't go with Jones in the second half. They rolled with Kevin Kalu for 25 minutes for this game. And, you know, defensively in this one, no blocks, no steals for Kalu. He had 8 rebounds. I think that was his biggest task tonight. And he's still coming off that groin injury, whatever you want to call it, that he's been kind of dealing with. Let's go to Twitter and X before we get to George here. 915-505-6009. Michael G is checking in on Twitter and X. Shame. Weak crowd. I'm sure there's still a lot of fans and upset fans after New Mexico State. Misael, awesome crowd. Oh, man. This is Jetson. That's El Paso for you. They were recently ranked as the number one city with nothing to do. Doesn't support local sports, good or bad. Too many lazy asses living in El Paso. Damn, Sal.
That's crazy, because I could have swore UTEP had a marketing problem and they couldn't get fans. They stepped up the marketing. UTEP had word of mouth problem. Word of mouth got out, not only for UTEP against the Aggies. Remember the North Texas game for football? Remember the pickup truck game against UTSA? I remember that one. Yeah, that one got a lot of people out there. What is the common theme here? They're all losing these big games, so you can't blame it on people who feel like they're going to waste their money because they're just going to go get let down. Fortunately, you're going to have to wait another year or so to see if they can get a crowd out there again. And guess what? Pressure's going to be there again. If you win when nobody's there, that's good. But you got to win when people go there to keep them there. So there's levels to it. They're barely getting to step two out of like a 15-step ladder, man.
Yeah, good point. Paul Reynoso, this is a very bad loss, especially coming off an East Coast road sweep. Got to take care of home court, especially in conference play. It's not getting any easier with Kennesaw State coming in Saturday. Good point, Paul. This is Andrew. I don't know how you expect UTEP to win when UTEP barely gets any rebounds. The Minor Pickaxe Podcast. Wow, shout out to those guys. 808s and heartbreaks at the dawn. The Minor men fell to Jack State in a game that they will look back on and say they should have won. Free throws and timely defensive lapses cost us the game. And he has this like cold look. Hashtag Minor Talk. Brian checks in. I knew when Camper went down, it was over. Can someone explain to me how Heb is on scholarship when we all see him playing bad? We'll be lucky to have a good crowd Saturday. Yet another dud for the Miners. Hashtag Minor Talk. Poncho at Poncho ORDH. Coach Golding, excuses are getting old. You are not going to win a lot of games shooting 38%. Another game when UTEP men's basketball gets outscored in the second half. There's no strategy or game plan. It's just move the ball around until someone is open for a three-pointer. Hashtag Minor Talk.
That's interesting. That's real interesting because we've seen it time and time again where in the second half, I don't know if it's like they get outplayed completely, whatever the case is. And I know that rebounding is a point that people are upset at. They might not be able to do anything about that. Let's just be real. But you can do something about getting outscored almost every single time you go out there when it's time for the final 20 minutes. So that's got to be something they got to figure out. I know on offense, there, the last couple of weeks, there were some signs. Hey, they're moving a bit more. You got to be in motion more now. We want to see guys play basketball without the basketball.
This is coming in from Sidelines. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask you about this one, Sal. This is our pal Sidelines. UTEP is officially 0-1 with the David Terrell afro. We need the cornrows back ASAP. That's coming in from Sidelines, our pal.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I loved his hair, by the way. David Terrell Jr.'s hair was awesome. It looked a little Anthony Black hairstyle. It was bouncing all over, but really cool.
I just want to see him get going more, man. Hey, we'll see what happens.
Who cares about the hair? Hey, just play,
you know
play
what?
Good basketball.
If he comes out with like a headband and some cornrows again, that'd be pretty cool. If he wants to do some dreads, that'd be nice too. Just want to see him get some buckets and lead this team to the promised land.
Thank you.
But David Terrell hair watch, though, that does need to be noted.
Oh, man. A couple of other posts to get to super quick, and then we're going to get back to George. Diego Mendoza, my pal from El Paso Matters. Shout out to El Paso Matters. Check him out online at El Paso Matters. Brutal loss to consecutive games at home. Bynum kept them in the game with some crazy shots, but otherwise the offense could barely find a good shot the entire second half. My faith in Golding is wavering. Just feels like he can't find any consistency even 4 years in. Man, that's a UTEP diehard right there. So let's go back to the phones. It's George who's next up with us. George, I saw you from afar today. Great to see you. Big shout out to Zay this weekend. He's going to be competing in track. He's not here with us right now because he's going to be competing in track this weekend in Lubbock. But you're on with us tonight, man. You got a chance to watch this one, and I'm sure you're just as disappointed as other Minor fans.
Well, you know, yes, I am. I am pretty disappointed. What I want them, as far as the team, to go back and reflect on this, I want them to stop being overconfident at home. just because you're home doesn't mean that you slack off. You just ride it out, and the crowd's going to get you into it. You got to come and play and defend the Don. Now, you bought into the whole spiel with Golding. Now you got to put up and shut up. You know, it's ridiculous how they came out flat. They were being outplayed. They were out of sync, for one. And then there was no adjustments after the half. There was no adjustments. The free throws, once again, going back to last year and how terrible we were, some of the clutch players that I was like, what am I seeing here? Am I seeing deja vu? Because I think it was Frazier missed one, and several of the guys missed their free throws that are usually, you know, on point. And I mean, the rebounding situation, you know, not too bad. I mean, I know they're never going to be a good rebounding team, but they did the best they could, I think. Elijah Jones came in and electrified the team for a bit, and then he was out. And I didn't see him the rest of the game. And if I did, I just saw him in little spurts. I mean, throw the kid in there. Let him play. I mean, he shows he wants to be in there, and he shows the hustle. Why punish him by sitting him on the bench instead of having him go in there and contribute some more minutes? I mean, come on. The kid can play. He just has to give him more time. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then Kalu just looked like he was ready for everybody to just roll over him. Hamilton, you know, he's still developing. I don't think he's at the point he should be. But he still gave us some good minutes. I mean, Kemper going down, Tyler Hebb going in there, I don't know. I'm not too much of a fan. You know, but I did see some spurts where I think we could have won this game towards the end. But we let him get back in the game, and I think it blew up in our face. And once again, stop. Overcompensate. Stop thinking that because we're at home, it's an easy win. It's not. None of this in Conference USA, no game is an easy game. Everything, you got to come out and play.
It's a good point. I mean, look, the biggest thing, George, that we're seeing in CUSA is there is the parity. There are those teams that can go out and beat you on the road. Look at what UTEP did last week to Liberty and to Florida International. Losing to Jacksonville State at home is inexcusable. You can't take them lightly, like you're saying. And defensively, the Miners hung in there. That's what kept them in the game in the first half. And the second half, Jacksonville State scored or shot 60% from the field and never really looked back. But to your points on the rotation changes, I get it. Maybe the wrench that was the injury bug that was thrown in there confused the team a bit, but at the same time, you got to have the backup plan. You have to have the contingency plan, and I felt like for the Miners tonight, they just got punched in the face, and they just weren't, you know, necessarily ready for this big, I guess, uppercut that Jacksonville State threw tonight. Good stuff, George. Appreciate it as always, man. Good to see you tonight, and we'll talk to you probably the next edition of Miner Talk. Let's keep it going. 915-505-6009. Leon is next up with us. He is back on the program. 915-505-6009. We just freed up a phone line. Leon, good evening, man. What's happening?
Hey, good evening, guys. Listen, about the attendance, I still say if we get rid of the yappy Monica, we're going to get better attendance. That's just my opinion. All right? So whatever we got to do to make that happen, I think it's got to happen. Anyways,
oh, man, that's mean.
hey, just an opinion. Doesn't have to matter. But listen, I really think tonight, and it's a good thing it's a long season, 14-5. We could be in worse places. You know, we're going to have ups and downs, and you've said many times, Adrian, that it only matters when we get down to March. I'd love to see them peaking at the right time, but last year the team peaked late. I think we have better talent this year. I just think, you know, Golding's got to figure out those second chance points with these guys, and whether it's going back to basic rebounding and blocking out. Jones, I thought, brought a spark, but, you know, there's some things that he doesn't bring defensively, and I can see why maybe Golding sits him down. It's just when Kemper went down, you lose an important part of your defense, especially when you're pressuring the guards. I mean, look at the amount of turnovers they didn't have the second half. and their guards played, I thought, pretty well, or at least controlled themselves, where I thought we could have put more pressure on them, especially later on. But it is what it is. You know, Kennesaw State's coming in, man. It's going to be a game. And we'll see and see what they bounce back. Let's hope Camper comes back, because whether it comes from leadership or whether it comes from defense, especially defense, you do have a drop-off. And I don't know if Baylor Hebb is the answer there.
No, not the answer.
Night, guys.
Good stuff, Leon. Not the answer there at all. And that, you know, it never really was the answer. And I think it was supposed to be one of those contingency plans that they had to go to tonight defensively because they lost Camper, in the second half. Let's keep it going. Mike from the West Side's back with us here on the show, 915-505-6009 on the program. Before we get to Mike, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box, here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Special thanks to Inspo Lens for broadcasting our edition of Miner Talk here tonight, live on Twitter and X. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. Big shout out to Chris and Inspo Lens here for joining us as well. Along with Sal Montes, Alberto Reta, George Guajardo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are continuing with your phone calls right now on Miner Talk. UTEP loses tonight. Jacksonville State defeats them 73-66. We're talking about it here on the show. We're not going to talk about it too long. We're going to kind of limit this one to an hour here on the program and then save the rest for tomorrow on Sports Talk for any other comments from this game. But let's keep it going. Next up is Mike from the West Side. He knows UTEP hoops more than most. But Mike, it's great to hear from you again here on the program. What's going on?
Well, I want to second the motion to put Kalu and Hamilton in together at the same time. I've been watching this team for years and it just never happens. And we don't need them to score. But when you got Rogue and who was the other one, Pierre, just wearing us out in the paint and nobody blocking them out, what's to stop us from putting two guys out there, two bigs at the same time? They don't need to score points. They just need to block out the key, and it never happens. And there seems to be this hang-up about fouls, about somebody fouling out. I would put Hamilton in with 3 minutes to go every game and let him foul out. Who cares? Just start slamming people. And there's no adjustment on what's going on the court. These guys absolutely opened us up in the middle and gutted us tonight. And we had no response. And, you know, you can talk about point guards all you want, but we're getting killed down below.
You are. And the rebounding is, it's become assumed that they're going to lose the margin, but it should not be accepted, Mike.
Right. Well, that's all I got. I'll see you Saturday.
All right, we'll see you Saturday. Good stuff, Mike. Appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. Wow, a lot of love for that Kalu-Hamilton duo. Any thoughts, guys? Anybody want to chime in on the Kalu-Hamilton duo? You want to chime in, George?
Yeah, absolutely. This look, it's bigger than defense. I mean, it's a cover defense. They switch everything. Now you're having two big men who aren't fleet of foot. You're asking them to switch on screens, possibly way out on the arc. I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. I know exactly why Golding isn't doing it. And on offense, I mean, it'd be great if these guys could space the floor and you had a high post, a low post guy, and you play some early 2000s basketball like that. But you don't. The reality is you don't. And I just don't know if it would help the rebounding or the defense to any point. I think we would just get carved up that way. It's just a recipe for disaster. No.
You know, I'll say this. Frazier III, I thought his assignment was going to be Jaren Pierre Jr. tonight. Instead, it was Corey Camper Jr. who took most of the minutes with him in the first half. And what that led to is in the second half, things opened up for Pierre when obviously it was Hebb on Pierre. But even before that, it was, you know, Pierre finding other people down low, missing shots, but other guys getting that second chance bucket and hurting the Miners down low in the paint. I'm totally anti the Kalu-Hamilton duo down low. I just think it's way too slow. I'm with you there, George. I don't know how they're going to switch on ball screens if they're playing that aggressively defensively. I get where Mike is coming from in terms of like boxing out in the paint, but you're losing that battle in the rebounding. You got to find it, that rebound battle somewhere else, or you got to find find a way to rebound in other ways. And, you know, tonight, maybe one of the reasons why UTEP just struggled in this one is they just didn't get that, they got six from Frazier off the glass in terms of rebounding. And what more can you ask from Frazier, who's 6 foot six, who is playing that true four? It's not like he's faking it. He is playing that true four role, whatever that combo guard role looks like right now here for UTEP. James is next with us, and then we'll go to Hunter, 915-505-6009. James, good evening, man. What's going on?
Oh, thank you again for giving us this platform to at least contribute our thoughts. Doing great. We're right there close to the court. Our family is season ticket holders, and we'll continue to be season ticket holders. But one of my sons and I were talking about is the physicality. It appears like the other teams know that once they start pushing us around and getting into our heads, I mean, they can pretty much control the game. And you see it, I mean, whether it be body checks, pulling of the jerseys, and especially if you're down close, you want to keep your eyes on not where the ball is, but where the other parts of the action is. And you see it. I mean, and we get pushed around. And I don't know what the solution is to that other than, I mean, we've got to develop a mean streak ourselves. I mean, and I'm not saying to hurt anybody, but, I mean, start pushing the other team around also. And I've noticed, I mean, they just completely dominate us. Number one. And number two, the body language. You could see it in our eyes that we were not ready to play. We were not ready to play. And this team that beat us tonight, they're playing good ball. But we should have won. We missed too many free throws. We're going back to missing too many. And again, that's concentration. But again, that's all my input. But thank you very much, guys.
Great job there, James. I appreciate it, man. The second point was maybe my favorite point. And you know, the thought of the physicality or, you know, matching up against somebody and not being as physical. I love the way that they're going out there and they're talking crap to Liberty the way that they did last week and, you know, went in there as the tougher team and came out the tougher team with a win. Like, they went on a mission. But it's finding consistency in this because, like, one game they'll come out with a lot of fire and a lot of intensity or, you know, they'll look tough against their opponent. And then tonight, I loved how James outlined that. The body language was horrible. Like, in that first 3 minute stretch, I hated the body language. And it's not just like missing a shot and then going off to the other side. It's missing a shot and not being aggressive to go off the miss to try to get that second chance bucket.
Yeah, you know what? Kind of to that point, there was a part, I can't remember if it was late in the first half or somewhere in the second half, but there was an offensive rebound, and I can't remember who, it was basically like a cherry pick dunk. That would just happen to be by luck, right? These guys,
it was Kalu.
Kalu just kind of ball watching and stuff, but you guys got to be able to follow it all the way through, play with a sense of urgency for 40 minutes. We've seen how they can play whenever they're dialed in,
motivated.
Exactly, everything is on max times 10, and just didn't get that. You can't pick and choose when to attack. You know, in terms of effort, you got to be on go mode 100% of the time. We know that that's Goldin's forte. That's his attitude. That's his motto. He's jacked up almost every single game. You could hear him on the broadcast, whether it's TV or radio. You know what his voice sounds like. But you got to bring that type of intensity for 40 minutes, not for 20, not for 15. You got to be able to do it because the window is closing in terms of getting ready for a nice run in February for everybody in conference.
And I'm going to keep it. Like, I'll say it again. There's this. It only matters in March. However, now it's starting to matter. Like, at the end of the season, we're going to judge the 2024-2025 season on what goes on in Huntsville, Alabama. However, if you don't play well right now, you're not going to get into Huntsville with any kind of momentum. Last year, they went on a 3-game win streak before going to Huntsville, Alabama.
Exactly. And that's what you're going to need. That's what every team is going to need going out to that tournament.
Good stuff. Let's go to Twitter and X before we get to Hunter. Aaron Peterson out-rebounded and no transition points in the second half. If the Miners can't figure out how to rebound the ball and score some other way besides just in transition, I don't know if they can go the distance. This is coming in from... UTEP bookshelves, number one. Way too many volatility from this team. If they play like they did against Liberty Louisville, they can win the conference tournament. If they play like they did the last two home games, they'll be bounced in the first round. A first-round exit in the CUSA tournament. I can't use the word disappointment.
Oh, man. It would hurt, but we just got to be real. They could be playing Jacksonville State that first game. Maybe somehow they slip and wind up playing against Middle Tennessee. Maybe they're going up against Kennesaw. Who knows? But it's going to be up for grabs for everybody.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is scary. The other comments coming in, depressed UTEP fan at Plain Spoken AJ. The loss of Camper is easily the biggest story of this season going forward. Think they win this game if he doesn't get hurt. Debatable. Like, I thought Camper played a great game. Do they win this game? I don't know. I think it's up for debate. I just think you get caught in the what-ifs, and Camper Jr. returning to the team hopefully soon will be the thing that this team looks to have. Sad UTEP fan, this team's head explodes with any success. I hope we lose the rest of the game so they actually want to play come Conference USA tournament time. Can't wait to hear how Golding didn't prepare his team for this game. Hunter's next with us. What's up, Hunter? Great to hear from you.
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
It's going great, man. How are you?
Can't complain, man. Not worth getting too worked up about, you know?
That's right. Par
for the course with this UTEP team and UTEP coach. You know, the things that I noticed, okay, is when they win, and it's a lot easier to win when the shots fall, right? And they just weren't falling today. They had some good looks. Barnes was cold. They're just – when shots don't fall, everything's harder, right? And I don't think it's a lack of effort. You know, sometimes they look flat and you can see it. Even Terrell had an off game offensively, even his free throw shooting. Like he just wasn't there, but it wasn't for a lack of effort. You know, the effort was there on the defensive end for sure from all of them. And I think when they win, it's almost purely because of effort with a good shooting night from somebody, right? Whether Devin Barnes goes off or whether Camper goes off or Bynum. Somebody's got to go off, and then effort wins. Where's the strategy? You know, and I think what's happening now is teams have figured out a formula to play against UTEP. And Golding isn't coaching. He's getting effort out of his guys. He's got his game plan and his system, but that's all he knows. So I can draw a comparison to the football team. It's really easy to defend against the football team because you almost know what's coming, right? They're not capable of throwing downfield. They're not capable of switching it up. And when you know what's coming, it's easy to game plan against. And if you've watched any of UTEP's games and you're a half-decent coach, and there are half-decent coaches in this conference, I'm not going to say really good coaches. Everybody's mediocre. That's why they can – everybody's mediocre with flashes of – decent or good, slightly above mediocre, and that's when they win, and mediocre teams lose the people they shouldn't. So any halfway decent coach will see UTEP and say, this is all UTEP's capable of, A, B, and C. So if we defend against A, B, and C, we're good. On the offensive end, if we backdoor them, if we go beat them off the dribble because nobody's capable of defending on ball, it's a team defense, which they're very good at. There's a lot of rotating, though, and if you beat that rotation, it's easy to score. And if you'll see the games they've struggled, there's a lot of layups. I don't know. I know you guys are all really young, maybe Sal. And no offense, Sal, I'm older than you, but maybe you're the slightly older one out of the bunch. But if anybody remembers UTEP's Don Haskins teams, he was a huge man-to-man defensive coach, right? He was known for tough man-to-man defense. However, he would throw in zones. He would throw in other looks because it was a strategy to defend against being one-dimensional. And Golding is incapable of anything else besides the one way he knows on defense. I think if you're getting burned and you're giving up 12, 13 layups, what harm is it to actually try and you know, maybe put in a 2-3 zone against a team that can't shoot the ball very well from the perimeter? the reason teams are shooting such high percentage is because they're getting wide open, easy shots from close to the basket. I haven't seen a zone once, not once. And it's not to say that that's the answer, but if I'm coaching against them, I see they have one defense and one defense only. I can figure out a way to beat that defense, and I think that's what's going on now.
You feel like they're one-dimensional defensively.
What else have they done? What other looks have they given? What do you have to game plan against? You tell me. What is the challenge here? What have they done any different than their team rotating defense where they jump out, they switch on the ball screens up top, and then they try and recover on the backside by shifting over? What have they done different?
You know, I'll say out to the credit of are we talking Harper today? I'm losing track of your coaches that you just talked about, decent coaches like Ray Harper. Ray Harper, what he did that was real smart, and what Jason Hooten did that was real smart as well against UTEP, was they slowed the pace down a little bit as well, Hunter. So you talked about like going kind of face-up guarding, or how they are able to kind of maneuver around the perimeter and then find that open man, whether it's a backdoor cut or just go face like a face-up kind of guard. That's where I get a little bit worried about UTEP moving forward, because then Pierre could take over a game in a scenario like a Conference USA tournament scenario. And by the way, on layups, they were 7 of 8 tonight. The Gamecocks were for layups tonight. And as far as second chance points, they had 8. So 34 points in the paint, 27 off the bench, and 1.1 points per possession. So they were scoring on a lot of these possessions, man, and they were taking their time on all their possessions as well.
34 points in the paint's too much. I think if we look back at their losses, especially NMSU, they lived in the paint. Well, how do you do that? How do you defend that? Try a zone. Dare them to shoot it, and if they start shooting it, okay, now we're going to switch up and we're going to give them a different look. But against halfway decent coaches like Hooten and whatever this gentleman's name was from today, who none of these guys compare to anything that UTEP used to face in the old WAC or in you know, the John Calipari's of the world. This is Mickey Mouse League, and we're losing to, you know, the head Mickey Mouse guy. It's not difficult to figure out, and they're able to overcome it with effort, you know, and I'll give them credit for that. But why should you have to expend maximum effort to squeak out a win when you have a coach that's responsible for putting you in the best position to win? There's no strategy. There's no changes. With the rebounding, I disagree 100% with Sal. There's nothing you can do. That's garbage, man. That's the easiest thing to fix. It's not like sometimes the ball doesn't go in. You're not going to make all your shots. Sometimes you're going to shoot a low percentage. That you can't help that. Rebounding is 100% fixable. You can fix it tomorrow. They just don't do anything to address it, or apparently what they're doing is not working. I saw one where the ball literally bounced on the ground. We got the defensive board, but the ball bounced on the ground before anybody went for it. Nobody's hungry for that ball. It's about effort and positioning. It's wanting to grab that rebound, and that's not a point of emphasis, and it's obvious. That's something you fix tomorrow. And Eddie Sutton, who used to coach Oklahoma State, had a problem with rebounding. You know what he did? He put his players in football pads and taught them to be physical down low. And guess what they did? They rebounded the ball the rest of the year. So there's things, and I'm not saying that we go back to those kind of tactics, but there's measures you can take. That's not even close to reality. You can fix that tomorrow, and he just doesn't emphasize it. But it's too easy for a half-decent coach to attack them. Way too easy. They figured it out. Hooten will route him in Crucis again, I promise you, because Goldie's going to go do the same exact thing and hope that the effort overcomes coaching.
Yeah. Well, I hear you, man. I appreciate the phone call as always, Hunter. Thanks for weighing in. A little zone lesson there for Hunter. But, I mean, to his point, he's not the only one who's saying this as far as UTEP needing to go and adjust their defense during stretches. I hear what you're saying, Hunter. I get it. And exerting all that effort, exerting all that energy – Yeah, I could see why that could hurt them on the opposite side, or if the game plan was completely let's win the rebounding margin or try to compete in the rebound margin. They failed in that category, and they didn't really have that backup option after that. So good phone call. Guys, we're going to wrap this one up. Let's start winding this one down. We got a lot of great comments that we did not get to on Twitter and X, so I appreciate those people who chimed in. Tristan Pence, just want to give him a shout-out because he chimed in with this one. Give Jacksonville credit. They were the tougher team, and their coaching staff did a great job controlling the tempo. Though Heb had a good game, I do not understand why he was guarding Pierre a couple possessions in the final 3 minutes. Saturday's game is a must-win for UTEP. This is Andres. Understandable loss considering Jack State leads in rebounding and has a leading score in Conference USA. How many points did he have tonight? And as well, what did you think about the no-foul injury against Corey Camper and Ahmad Bynum? About 4,400 in attendance. How many points did Pierre have tonight? He ended up with 14. Was I mad about the no-foul against Corey Camper? Yes. The Ahmad Bynum? No, not necessarily. They just kind of collided with each other, and it was just kind of like a big shake or a little shake-up. Gerald Hitter. I love how Elijah Jones brings energy to the floor. Would play him more. Good point, Gerald. I would play him more, too. I like that. Good stuff, guys. Let's get some final thoughts from around the room, guys. And, you know, we'll wrap it up with some Hot Hand Award as well. I want to give a Hot Hand Award to somebody special. So, George, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Alberto, and then to Sal for some final thoughts. But, guys, give us some final thoughts here tonight. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 73-66.
Yeah, really some great points by our callers tonight. I know they're frustrated, and a lot of it's coming from that, like, angry knee-jerk. As the dust settles, is this UTEP team I'm just wondering, is this UTEP team been figured out? Is this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But the losses are starting to look similar, and of course, I mean, that's probably going to happen. But without playing the what-if game too much, I do think it's a little bit different of a game if Corey doesn't go down. I will say, yeah, the effort does need to get better on the boards all around. But look, when you shoot 38%, 37, what was it, around 37% today, you're just not going to win a lot of games. And starting and finishing games, yeah, maybe they're gassed at the end of games because they're giving so much effort on defense, but I'll take that. I'll take all that effort on defense, man. That's how you win games ultimately. So A lot of stuff to clean up here. They got another tough matchup. Every single game in Conference USA is going to be hard out here. So, like you said, it's about to start mattering. And so this team just has to lock in. We talked about focus stuff. We'll see what Golding responds with.
Yeah, Saturday will be a tell-all. Alberto.
You know, just kind of along those same lines, is one of my biggest issues is the Miners just kind of slowed down as this game progressed. And on the other side, Jacksonville State, they ramped it up. You know, the first half, they shoot 38% from the field. And in the second half, like we said earlier, they shoot 60% from the field. And they just absolutely kill the Miners, outscoring 43-35 in the second half. And that's another thing. You can't be scoring 30 points a half and expect to win games. You can't score 35 points a half and expect to win any games in March or February. So I just things need to pick up. Obviously, the Miners just didn't feel like – at the end of the game, the Miners weren't playing to win the game, right? They just didn't have the personnel on the floor to put them in a position to win the game. That's just kind of really what it felt like. So that's what leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But we're on to Saturday.
Yeah, and Saturday is going to be a big one. And it is kind of like Tristan Pence was saying, it's got to be a big one. I don't know necessarily a must win, but it's got to be a big one for this squad to try to rally back. And 48 hours turnaround, beat a team that just dominated the Aggies tonight. Sal, final thoughts tonight?
Yeah, with Camper going down, it makes you wonder who's going to step up. And there's two guys who I'm looking at to go ahead and take that next step and help put this team on your back. It's not Otis Frazier. It's not Ahmad Bynum. We know what they consistently bring to the table. But looking at David Terrell, also looking at Devin Barnes, seeing what they can do, seeing how they can contribute and help will this team to victory. It's going to be a complete team effort. What Camper brings to the floor goes far beyond just scoring and far beyond his defense. He's a presence. presence on the floor, go ahead and go out there and demand that same type of respect when, you know, when it matters the most. Because at the end of the day, if a game is within reach, it's 1 to 2 possessions. Either you're up 1 to 2 or you're down 1 to 2 possessions in the final couple minutes. It's still there for you. You got to have the dogs to go out there and do it. And that's what Jacksonville State basically did. They owned the game in the final possessions, and they walk out of El Paso with a win that's very impressive. Makes you wonder if they're going to pull a sweep. How we said the Southwest sweep is going to be hard to do. Let's see if they can do that over at the Pan Am Center. But more importantly, how are the Miners going to respond to this game while going up against Kennesaw, who just beat the team that waxed UTEP the game at the Haskins Center before this one?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. I mean, yeah, and they're going to come in motivated as well. Hey, if you're looking for a fresh perspective on stories that inspire, check out InspoLens.com. This innovative website is dedicated to spotlighting the uplifting stories through video that don't always make the headlines. From personal triumphs to groundbreaking innovations, InspoLens brings you the positivity and motivation you need. Visit InspoLens.com. Check it out. The world through an inspiring eyes. Positive storytelling, education, and action for good. Inspo Lens is your El Paso documentary website. New stories coming out soon with Inspo Lens. A big shout out to Chris and Inspo Lens for making this happen and putting us on Twitter and X live here on Miner Talk as we continue. Special shout out to the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. We'll be back Saturday. We'll have some ticket giveaways on Saturday ahead of UTEP versus Kennesaw State. Jacksonville State hot hand of the game. We're going Elijah Jones, the man with the only plus minus of the game. 4 points, a rebound, an assist in this one, 6 minutes of action. Elijah Jones is the hot hand of the game, brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. You can see why home builders make Wind Supply El Paso their trusted HVAC system supplier. Visit them online, windsupplyelpaso.com. Also, a mention to our player of the game, it's going to Otis Frazier III tonight, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 27 minutes of action for Otis Frazier III in tonight's loss. So we'll give him the player of the game tonight, and a big shout out to Otis Frazier III for winning that one here tonight. That'll do it for us here on the program, here on the show. For Alberto Retta, for George Guajardo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off tonight. We'll be back in action Saturday for another edition of Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.